This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. It's great to have to be here with you today. Gorgeous Southern California sunny day. And I have a very special guest today. Her name is Christine Ristino. She is a survivor of sexual violence and author of All the Silent Spaces. She's very passionate about social justice and creating positive change in our world. Christine was attacked by a stranger in a parking lot in front of her very young children and had to learn how to speak up about the violence she had sustained then, and that for many years later she had never spoken about. So she found her voice, which led to great healing, and she now encourages others to speak out about their dark places in their lives. Welcome to the show, Christine. How are you doing today?
Mari, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's completely my pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. So I was born in a very small town, Franklin, Massachusetts, a lot of Italian Americans, but not a lot of diversity. Mm-hmm. And I grew up there, and I ended up getting a degree in Italian studies, and I teach Italian language and literature now at Emory University. I've always been a mediator and a very good one at that, but about, let's see, in 2007, I was attacked, as you mentioned, in front of my children in a parking lot, and it really changed the trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. So I went from being a person who mediated, and then I went into a whole different trajectory, and I find now that I can speak my own truth, that I know my truth deep inside, and I'm very involved in social justice work. Because of that, because I know who I am, and that feels to me one of the first steps in moving towards working with others and changing the world. That's really the short summary of how I came to do what I currently do. I continue to teach, but I'm also very involved in student groups. I'm very involved in social justice work, and I'm also working with the community to change the way we talk about violence.
Great. So tell us a little bit about, as you began to find your voice, what did this begin to do in your life? What positive changes did you experience from this?
Well, so there were a few things happened right after this attack in the parking lot that really changed how I approached life altogether. My children were 3 and 5, and about a week before that, I showed my children a video on Stranger Danger, and I had been going back and forth on that. Should I show it to them? Maybe not. I don't want them to be afraid of people, et cetera. Finally, I decided to show it to them, and right after this happened, I was lying on the ground with a broken nose, a black eye, a slight concussion, bleeding, and I stood up, and my little 3-year-old said, "Mom, he was a don't know." And I realized that,
Wow.
And I realized he had the language to talk about this. And it changed my whole way of parenting. And I parent in a much more authentic manner now. I initially thought protecting my children meant not telling them things, protecting them from the truth. Now I realize it's giving them the language to talk about the truth.
Yes.
That's protecting our kids.
I like that. That's such a valid point. You know, you said that you grew up in an Italian-American neighborhood, and I'm Cuban, and I was actually born in Cuba, so I'm Cuban-American. But a lot of the older traditions and ways is to shelter, right, and not tell kids and sometimes even adult things in order to save them pain. But in this case, I just can't even believe a 3-year-old could be so aware of what was going on. That is really amazing. So I'm glad that you bring that up, because we as parents often don't know, am I going to harm their psyche by exposing them to the idea of violence, or is it better that they know? So I'm glad that you're bringing that forth. So what's go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was just going to say that we continue to talk in this way even now, but right after that happened, a couple of other things happened. People kept asking me the race of the attacker, and I was shutting down conversations left and right, asking kind of in an angry way, why are you asking me that question? But the man happened to be black, and so my son was hiding behind my legs every time we saw a black man. And I had to figure out how to navigate this. But I discovered that both of my children, both the 3 and 5-year-olds, could understand on a basic level what racism was, there are a number of racial profiling we had to talk about. We ended up talking about white privilege and a whole bunch of other topics that came up because of this. And on a basic level, they really could understand. And every time they asked a question, I would answer it. Then I would say, do you want to know more? Because I'd give them as much as I thought they needed to know, but sometimes they did want to know more. I wanted to give them that option, but I also wanted to give them the option of stopping there until they were ready to digest the next piece. And so I've been doing that since. Now they're 18 and 16, so they're a lot older.
Wow.
We talk about everything.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's beautiful. I love that. So you said you became more authentic in your parenting. How else did that affect your own authenticity?
Well, it affected I am authentic now, and I wasn't before. And I'll tell you what happened. So when I was young, that whole idea of protecting your family, something that went along with that was don't air your dirty laundry, don't talk about problems. And that was considered to be strong. You know, you had strength if you wouldn't talk about your problems. And so that's what I always thought should happen. And I was molested when I was 8 or 9 by my grandfather, and he was a beloved family member. I didn't tell anybody. I barely told anyone, and I certainly didn't tell my family, and I was also raped at 21. And I kept these two things inside, thinking that I was being strong by not talking about them. And
right.
I was also raised to be nice, you know, so I didn't bring up any controversial topic. I never talked about, in a way, anything of importance. I love to enjoy myself and laugh and have fun conversations, but I didn't go deep. And as a result, I had a lot of students who had a really good time in my Italian class, but we didn't go beyond that. I didn't do a lot of mentoring when I was initially teaching. After this attack, I had to walk into a bathroom with a black eye and a broken nose and a slight concussion the following Monday and say, this is what happened. There was no denying it. And I decided I was going to face things straight on rather than hide from them, because I thought, if I can learn from this, you know, maybe this will turn into an experience that has some positive merit to it. So I started asking questions about race. I realized I knew nothing about it. And I went deep into these topics. You know, sometimes I was afraid I'd be viewed as not knowing anything, uninformed, stupid, even racist. I didn't know how these questions would come across. But my community was amazing. And I noticed during this time that people were talking about their own struggles, about their own violence, the violence they had experienced, racism they had experienced, illness that they had experienced, or death of a loved one, and they were doing it with such strength, such courage, and such grace. And I realized this is what it means to be courageous and strong, not the other way around. And they gave me strength to talk about my own situation. And I finally went to my family and told them about my grandfather and the rape. And suddenly my whole place in life just changed really quickly. I stopped mediating. I started to feel my own truth deep inside, and I started to consult with myself before answering a question, or, you know, ask myself, what did I really think about this situation? And before that, I didn't know. And I think it was because this big truth about someone we all loved, my truth, was just not out there, not being talked about, and I went along with this other truth. And it becomes very easy to ignore your truth in every situation when you're ignoring something that big.
Yes, yes. And to dismiss the validity of your truth and just your inner knowing and your ability to make decisions and to do the thing that's right for you. I know that for
yeah.
me, you don't, it's like you don't trust yourself. You have to ask everybody else what you should do or what the next step or where you should
yeah.
go, because you don't have any trust in yourself. You haven't been able to build that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is exactly true, Mari. I agree with you entirely. And if you don't trust yourself, you're not going to look deep inside. And that's a horrible thing to be living with, that you don't trust yourself and you can't consult with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, I don't feel as though I ever truly was myself. I was always looking to see who everyone else wanted me to be.
Yep.
And I didn't have a very high self-esteem, because I felt if this man can do this to me, I must not be worth that much. And so I had a lot of things that I was battling deep inside, and I wasn't living an authentic life. I feel now I am, and it's
mm-hmm.
because when I go into my classroom or when I go into a room and talk to my children or in any given situation, I believe that I am bringing my whole self to that situation. I'm not just teaching Italian when I go to Italian class. I'm Christine, who's a survivor of violence. I'm a mother of two children, a wife. I am somebody who has lived in Italy. I'm someone
right.
who has experienced heartbreak, you know, so I bring that whole person, and I try to let every cell of my body ring with who I am at every second of every day. That's my goal when I wake up in the morning.
Wow, that's a great goal. And what does it feel now, your life now in your authenticity versus how you were before?
It's just so much nicer living in my own body. You know, I still struggle sometimes with low self-esteem, but for the most part, it's only when I'm stressed out or I haven't had enough sleep, and that's more a sign, Christine, you need to slow down and get some sleep, and I listen to
yeah.
it in that respect now, but for the most part, I feel good about myself, you know, and I should. And the other thing is, when I have conversations with other people, they're powerful. And I
mm-hmm.
bring my own truth to these conversations, and I am much more helpful when I speak my truth from a very authentic place than when I try to mediate. And in fact, I rarely mediate anymore, because now my voice is just as important as anybody else's. So living
yeah.
authentically has just changed my life. I also feel that my voice is an important voice in many, many conversations, and that it needs to be out there. And I'm not afraid to share it. And in fact, I rely on it. And the other thing is that when I finally started hearing my voice after not having heard it for my entire life, it was a little
mm-hmm.
bit like falling in love when you meet somebody new and you want to hear more from them. And so you just seek them out. And I found that I was really enjoying and loving getting to know myself. And I wanted
yeah.
to be around myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard to be alone anymore.
Yeah, so beautiful. I love the way that evolved for you. And I actually had the same experience in my own life. You know, I grew up a nice little Catholic girl. I had to be nice. Everybody had to like me. And I did everything I wanted to be liked, and I wanted what everybody else said I should do. But when you break out of that and begin to be you, which is what you did, it's just the most beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that. Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Christine a question, you can call in at 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
It is time to order your copy of The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination, written by Eric M. Twiggs. By reading Eric's book, you will receive a proven roadmap and blueprint to beat procrastination, so you can make more money, get more done, and become aligned with your divine purpose. To order your copy, visit www.thedisciplineofnow.com.
Are you a working mom feeling anxious and worried all the time? I am Dr. Ivy G, the author of The Art of Good Enough, the working mom's guilt-free guide to thriving while being perfectly imperfect. The book shows you how I transform my life as a working mom. Get a free digital copy of my life transformation journal at ivg.com. That's ivyge.com, and start changing your life today.
Have you been searching for that one self-help book that can help you address any problem that comes up in your life, gives you the exact steps to make that happen, and can always be there as a reference book when you need additional help? That book is the Fix Yourself Handbook. I'm Foster Ruggiero, the author of the Fix Yourself Handbook. Find your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or at any local retailer. Or go to www.fosterruggiero.com.
Author Paz Ellis takes readers on a cross-cultural and transgenerational journey with Plantains and the Seven Plagues, a memoir, half Dominican, half Cuban, and full life. This book is about life, loss, memory, culture, and family. Written with a healthy dose of wit and an abundance of sincerity, it is honest, painfully relatable, and deeply heartfelt. Visit PazEllis.com for more information on Plantains and the Seven Plagues.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Christine Ristino, who is survivor of sexual violence and author of All the Silent Spaces. So, Christine, what is the main message you'd like to bring to the public today?
So I'd like to bring to the public the idea that we need to bear witness to each other's stories. Everybody has a story to tell, and we often don't bear witness to each other's stories in a way that empowers them. So what I mean by bearing witness is listening as though it's the only thing we have to do on that day and the most important, and not jumping in and interrupting and asking that person to justify themselves, but really listening, showing compassion for their story. And I think a lot of healing can take place. The other thing is to start small. If you've experienced trauma in your life or anything, I mean, not you dying yourself, but the death of a loved one, for example, or illness or racism, and you want to move forward past that trauma, do it in a way that fits your own trajectory. Don't try to do exactly what other people are telling you, but do what feels right inside. It sometimes takes a lifetime to heal from trauma, but I would say, for me, for example, I have experienced trauma and I didn't have a voice. So how did I find my voice? Well, it starts with the pizza, you know, ordering pizza. I would always say, I don't care what pizza we get, I like everything. But now I say what kind of pizza I want. So start there, start small, and then work up to it. There were things, you know, when it came to being molested, I told my family at a certain point I had been molested. It took another 2 years for them to be ready to hear and for me to want to tell them who it was. I didn't do anything all at once. And it took me a long time to even tell my family. I was around 45 years old by the time I could do that. I wasn't ready before then. So you have to go on your own trajectory. Don't let anybody convince you to tell your story or to take a step before you're actually ready. Listen to yourself in that respect.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love the part about do what you feel is right inside, because sometimes people like to push you, even professionals that you may go to do something you're not ready. So thank you for sharing that with the listener. And I love about you ordering the pizza that you like. I used to be the same way. What restaurant do you want to go to? What movie do you want to see? And always going along with the crowd. But it feels good to speak up and say, this is what I prefer. Not that we're going to get our way every time like brats, but it's good to speak up, right?
But it's nice to hear our voice. I totally relate, Mari. I completely relate to what you're saying. It sounds like we've been through some similar things and we're raised in a very similar manner.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about your book, All the Silent Spaces. It's actually your memoir. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write this and what the reader can expect.
Certainly. So initially, I just thought I was writing about race, and I was writing conversations that I had with people about race in an effort to understand it better. And then I would hand the conversation back to them and say, did I get this right? Sometimes they'd say, oh, yes, you've got it. And sometimes they would say, no, no, you're absolutely wrong. And I'd realize I had fallen flat on my face. But that's okay, because I was learning the whole time. And it was a stunning experience. But as the process went on, I was reading with a writing partner my introductory piece. And my introductory piece was a letter to my attacker. And at a certain point, I said, I wonder what my daughter thought when I wouldn't look at her. I was covered in blood, and I didn't want her to be afraid. Did she think that I was ashamed of what had happened to us? And my colleague, my friend, said, Christine, a little five-year-old, she's not going to be ashamed. Maybe she's afraid, but she's not going to be ashamed about this. And I said, no, no, this has to be in there. We went back and forth for a while. And then she said, maybe you're ashamed. And all these bells and whistles went off. And I realized, the little girl isn't my daughter. This little girl is me. I'm ashamed. So I went and reread that 150 pages, those 150 pages, and I could see this ashamed little girl hiding in the subtext of the entire book. So at that point, I realized I need to talk about these other two experiences. I went and I talked to my family, told them what had happened, and then integrated the violence that I had experienced into the book. And it was extremely powerful. This took years. I was attacked in the parking lot when I was 40. By the time I added I started to even look at the two experiences with rape and molestation, I must have been 43, 44 years old. And it took a long time for me to even admit that these two things had happened. But they had, and they affected me greatly. So the book is all about coming to terms with these things and having difficult conversations. And so by the end of the book, I'm at a certain point, but I realize that the book is still going on, because every time I have a conversation like the one that we're having together, Mari, I learn something new about myself. I move forward. I heal in a different way. And so the book continues in some respects. I end the book feeling much better than I had when I started writing. But if now jump a year after the book has been published, and I'm at a different point as well. And I feel even better, and I know even more. So this has been a really exciting process to write this book, to talk about it, to gain more insight from everyone I speak to. And it's been really, really powerful.
Do you feel that as you've evolved it, I had the same thing with books that I've written, because you're going through an experience or you've had one, but then you begin to evolve more and evolve and learn more. Do you feel there might be another book inside of you?
There might be. There are so many things that I'm thinking about now, and so much more that I know. The book is perfect for the time that I wrote it, and I think it really captures a huge period of growth and something important, especially about asking difficult questions, talking about difficult things, and taking your life that is completely spinning out of control and anchoring it in a new place. But now I'm in a different place than I was when I finished writing the book. And so I have a lot more to add. And I'm adding those things in conversations like the one that we're having now. For example, when I started interviewing, I was still at the point where I wasn't saying who the man was who molested me. I called him the man in my book. And I thought I would never mention him or say who he was. At this point, I feel okay doing that. And so even that is a huge step. But that happened after the book was published.
Okay. Wow. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about how to get a hold of you and your book for the listener.
Absolutely. So I am at ChristineRistino.com. That's my webpage. And it's R-I-S-T-A-I-N-O for my last name. Christine is spelled with a C-H. And you can send a message to me that way. You can order my book. You can see the media that I've been involved with, interviews, et cetera, articles that I've written on this topic. So you can find all of these things there. And that's probably the best place to go. But you can also email me at crisai@emory.edu.
Okay, good. And you can also find Christine on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Just click on the radio show page, and she's already there with her picture, a link to this interview, and a link to her website so you can find her and her book. And speaking about this interview, as soon as we're done, they're going to put a replay of it right on the same link. So spread this information. If you know someone who really needs to hear this, go ahead and spread this so they can listen. So, Christine, is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, something that's deeply in your heart today?
Well, I think during this time of division and this difficult time, the best way we can communicate with each other is through telling our stories and bearing witness to each other's stories. So I encourage you to share stories and do it in an authentic way, whatever's in your heart. You don't have to share everything if you're not ready, but sharing our own humanity is a way that we can connect during a time, you know, that is somewhat fragmented and difficult. Your stories about what you're doing during quarantine, how you're surviving the pandemic, and all kinds of different things. We can connect through storytelling. And I also just wanted to thank you, Mari, and also your listeners, for bearing witness to my story. Every time I tell my story, I gain power and strength to move forward and to heal.
Yeah, wow. It's been wonderful having you. And, you know, what you were talking about, bearing witness, it's so important that we listen to others, you know, that we truly listen to what they have to say, because sometimes it could be the first time they're telling the story, you know, something traumatic that happened to them. And we can get into the space where we're just not really listening. We're off somewhere. So being present, I think, is so important to this. Would you agree?
I agree completely, especially, I mean, all the time. But right now we're really in the middle of an international crisis, you know, a world crisis. Bearing witness to each other's stories is so important right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so I encourage the listener to speak up, you know, listen to what Christine is saying. If you have something that's deep inside, something you've never been able to share that's eating at you, and you may not even know in ways it's affecting you, open up to someone. You don't have to open up to the world. You don't have to write a book like Christine did, although that takes a huge amount of courage, by the way. I applaud you for that, especially writing about something like this. And even to be able to say who it was in your childhood, that takes, to me, the most immense amount of courage I could imagine. So I too applaud you for that. And thanks so much for being on the show, Christine. It's been my pleasure completely to have you. And make sure that you go check her out, ChristineRistaino.com, ChristineRistaino.com. You could have her book and any information, or even if you want to write to her about anything. So thank you for joining us on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. We'll have the link right on, right after, and join us again for the next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye now.
Thank you, Mari.
Thank you, Christine.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.